I mean, I think the offense was what the fear would have been the entire offseason. The fear would have been not being able to generate a running game because you can't open up the correct holes or you can't be physical enough to invert the line of scrimmage and give Najee, you know, opportunities to get some space, because it seems that when he gets space, you know, he's been able to do a good job. Also, you didn't get opportunity to really protect Big Ben. And I thought when you look at some of the things that Ben was able to do, make some throws down the field, hit Deontay down the left sideline. He also hit Chase, you know, down the left sideline. I felt like when Ben had opportunities to have time in the pocket, that his receivers and his skill players on the outside got open, and he made some good throws, you know, even using Najee Harris in the pass game. But I just think if this team can't generate runs because of the physicality of their offensive line, like, they're going to have trouble. And obviously, if you go back to Las Vegas Raiders' first week against the Baltimore Ravens, you know, they are good up front. They do rush the passer extremely well. Gus Bradley's done a really good job with his defense. But I think that was about the offensive line being new, the offensive line not necessarily having the chemistry that it needs in the run game to give this team a chance, truly, offensively, to stay on the field. The Pittsburgh Steelers right now are third in number of plays defensively. Mm. And obviously when you have a guy like T.J. Watt get injured, Devin's not out there, Joe Hayden is not out there, I mean, that keeps you on the field longer, but it's partly also because the Pittsburgh Steelers don't sustain drives offensively. And that's going to be a tough deal for this team, especially when you'll be so heavily dependent on defense. They have to find a way to run the football.
Ryan, they've got a new offensive line coach who's never held that position in the NFL before this year, and they basically are trying to break in what amounts to an entirely new offensive line in terms of new guys and new places. What is realistic to expect out of them as far as improvement within the, you know, inside of the season this year?
Yeah, I think new coach never holding the position is not necessarily as big of a deal as it is new players, as it is, you know, those guys understanding how to play with one another, them understanding how to tie in order to execute what the game plan is. And now, what coaches do in the NFL especially is they tell you, this is what we're going to do. You know, we're gonna down block here, we're going to double and move to the second level. It's not necessarily a whole lot of teaching you how to block, right? Once you get to this point in your career, you normally understand that. They have drafted you or picked you up because of your skill set at that. So the teaching is about how do we do things together. And I think Adrian Klemm, you know, can do a good job of that. Shoot, I've known him since I was like 22. And, you know, he's a good football player. I think he's a good coach. But it just takes time. When you put all of these people together, you know, it's not like you put these guys together and you still have Marquise Pouncey at center. You know, it's not like you put these guys together and you still have David DeCastro at guard. You know, you lost not only players who had been in Pittsburgh a long time, but who were all pros, who were Pro Bowlers. And so I think realistically, you believe that this team can get better, or this offensive line can get better as the season goes along, but I don't necessarily believe they get better or get good enough for this team to be in contention in the AFC. And you guys know, just as I know, like, that's the standard.
Yep.
For Pittsburgh. And that's no pun, because Mike T always says the standard is a standard, but that's what they know as an organization, as a city, as the Rooney family. And I don't think this team can be that with this offensive line.
Ryan, Zach Banner made a big point with us yesterday that he was disgusted with how none of the offensive linemen picked Ben up after he got hit so many times. And I guess Ben was pissed about it. And then they like reviewed it in film on Monday, and there was a big discussion about it again. Thinking back on your time with the Steelers, is that a big deal, even in football terms, when the line doesn't help a quarterback that's getting killed like that?
I think it's a big deal, because normally if your quarterback's getting killed, it's your fault. You know, it's not like basketball where a guy takes a charge and, you know, you'll see the Westbrooks and the LeBrons and they're like, oh, pick him up, you know, like, because it's tradition. It's no, like, the reason that my quarterback's laying on the ground is because I missed the block, or because even if he held the ball too long, eventually the guy I was responsible for hit him. And that's your quarterback, right? That's your guy that's going to lead your team to victory. And so I do think it's a big deal. I think it's a big deal in many ways, right? It's a big deal because you expect the offensive line to care enough about doing their job that in doing their job or not doing their job and getting your quarterback hit, you feel bad about that and you want to go help him up. That's number one, right? Number two, it's important because if that's someone I care about, if that's a teammate that's important to me, I make sure that I'm helping him up, right? I want him to know that I'm here with him. I think, like, the equivalent would probably be this, right? Because we don't – defensively in the secondary, we don't really have that. You know, if a guy makes a tackle, if I'm around, I help him up. But we're not running over there because you know why? I wasn't supposed to block nobody to keep him from hitting him anyway.
Yeah.
But if Ike Taylor got in a fight, which he did very often, right, we were all fighting. There was never going to be a time that Troy Polamalu gets into a tussle, he's face-to-face with a guy, and I'm not running over there. And I think, to me, that's the equivalent of making sure your teammate knows that you're there for him. So it's either they don't care about their jobs enough to know that me not doing my job is why Ben is on the ground, or they don't care about Ben enough, or they don't have that relationship with Ben or that closeness or that tightness to where it's a natural reaction to say, oh, crap, Seven's on the ground, let me go get him up, which he obviously would have with a guy like Pouncey, who was his friend, who had been his center for a decade. Like, those are all things that are part of chemistry. Those are all things that are part of a relationship that can only be built through time. But it just seems like these dudes are going to have to be taught things at a rate that expedites this process, or the Pittsburgh Steelers end up on the outside looking in at the playoffs again with another championship-level defense if everyone's healthy.
Ryan, you've been on some Steelers teams that obviously were at or very near the top of the mountain, but there were a couple of years in there where the team went 8-8, and by their own standards didn't reach that level. What was Ben like, you know, kind of, I guess, behind closed doors? What was he like in the locker room in those seasons when things weren't going too well, when there was adversity, and it wasn't all, you know, sunshine and roses and positivity in there?
Well, I think, you know, I can be honest, I didn't pay too much attention to him. You know, you have to realize that when I was on the team, it was a different place in life for Ben. It was a different place in the locker room. You know, when I was on the team early on, Hines Ward was the leader offensively. So I wasn't really looking to see what Ben was doing because I was going to see what Hines was doing.
Mm-hmm.
James Ferrier was a leader. You know, I became captain. You know, Brett Kiesel became captain. And so I don't really think that the onus was on Ben to be a leader in the locker room in that manner. You know, and so I really didn't pay attention to him. And I don't necessarily know, you know, how it affected him or how he, you know, led the offense, you know, during those times because we were so busy leading ourselves. We were so busy, you know, working to correct things ourselves, you know, very early on, you know, my first year, 2000, you know, fresh off of the Super Bowl win, we weren't as good. I think we were 500 team that year. You know, there were some issues that year, but it was young Ben. You know, he had just turned from, you know, a young Ben who had led a team to the Super Bowl, and now he was beef jerky Ben. He was popular. He was, you know, a guy with all these advertisements and different things. And I think he's grown from that. So I do believe that he'll be better. I believe he'll be more involved in leading now. But, you know, during our time, that wasn't his job. His job was to play quarterback. And, you know, we did the rest.
Hey, on that note then, to go back to what you said about, you know, the line not picking them up, and it's either they don't care about their jobs enough or they don't care about the player enough to be going and picking a guy up because they're, you know, they missed their assignment. I think back, Ryan, to Ben talking about how he doesn't have a lot in common with these guys because he's so much older than almost everybody in that locker room. He's talked about there being a huge mm-hmm. gap in age. How much is it on him to try to bridge that gap if maybe there's not that closeness that familiarity kind of breeds with players? Does he need to do more of that? Should he have?
You know, I can't say he should, you know, because I'm not in the locker room and I don't know that he isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to make this a bash Ben segment or session when I'm not around enough to know if Ben is doing these things and if them not picking him up is just a small oversight.
Right.
Right. So all of this is us just trying to figure out, read the tea leaves and see what things mean. So I'm definitely not going to do that. I think it's on everybody. to build the relationship. Obviously, with Ben being the leader and him being the oldest, I think it's on him the most, for sure, right? To make sure that there is a relationship there, to make sure that that communication is constant. But it doesn't have to be a relationship to where we're friends, right? We're not going to hang out. I'm 39 years old. You're 23 years old, 24 years old. I got kids. I got a wife. We do not do the same thing.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't. And we shouldn't be doing the same things. And so in that, like, you don't have to have that relationship, but you know you do want a relationship. Hey, guys, it's Thursday. I'm going to grab some food. We're going to watch film together. You know, hey, guys, let's meet 30 minutes earlier so we can go over some of these calls and do some of these things. I think some of those things will be helpful because it's during those times, kind of those informal meetings. We're still doing football. We're not out having drinks. We're not out partying. But it doesn't have to be so formal where there's a coach in the room. We can have some different conversation. We can share some things. And I think those things will go a long way. As far as, you know, I think that's a different conversation to have as opposed to the conversation of them just simply helping them up.
Yeah.
That conversation and moving into some of those meetings, moving into some of the football stuff, actually makes you a better dang football team. Picking Ben off the ground ain't going to make you a better football team. Because you still got to pick him off the ground as many times as you didn't pick him off the ground in this game. Y'all ain't going to win anyway because y'all still suck.
Ryan Clark with us here on The Fan. And if that keeps happening, Ben's going to get injured. He already has this pec thing. He said today that he's going to try his best to play. Ryan, it's now a longer season. We've mentioned his age a couple of times. Does Tomlin and do the Steelers have to look at the long game here? I mean, would you consider, if Ben's like less than 100% this early in the year, would you consider going to one of the backups this week against Cincinnati?
I think the problem with that is if Ben wants to go, if Ben feels healthy enough to go, and you make that decision, it gives the team, it gives the opposition a feeling of, oh, you don't think this game is as important as other games. You don't believe that the Cincinnati Bengals are good enough to beat you. Because if Ben Roethlisberger is healthy any other year, you still play him.
Yeah.
And I just don't think his age gives you an out there that Ben says he wants to go and you don't let him go. I think what you did when you decided that Ben would still be your quarterback, when you decided that Ben would have another year to play, what you said then is that he's our guy. And you don't get to – your guy doesn't get weeks off if he's not injured, right? If he can go out and do it, he does it. And so I just don't think you can make that decision right now basing it off of, you know what, let's give him a rest now so we can have him week 17 because you don't know that if your best players aren't playing, week 17 will matter anyway.
Your former LSU buddy and ESPN colleague, Marcus Spears, said that the Steelers should sign Cam Newton today. What do you make of that?
I think Cam Newton is going to be mentioned anytime someone needs a new quarterback. You know, I'm sure he was mentioned when Ryan Fitzpatrick went down. You know, I think he'll be mentioned when anyone is hurt. I think the could he help them if Big Ben can't play? Absolutely. I think you sign Cam Newton if Big Ben can't play at all, though. You know, if Ben Roethlisberger is out for the season in week two, I think that's what you go do. Because I don't believe that Mason Rudolph can get you to a playoff this year. And maybe Cam Newton can. Maybe Cam Newton can do a little bit more and give you an opportunity to do that with this type of defense that you have. But as long as Ben is still on the roster, not on IR, still being able to move around and opportunity to get on the grass, I don't believe signing Cam Newton is the answer.
Ryan, put on the years of experience as a defensive back, as a guy whose job was to study opposing quarterbacks and find out weaknesses and crunching the tape up and seeing what you could glean from it. One of the things I've noticed about Ben, especially in this Raiders game, he had that pump fake that for years he would use it as a weapon. He'd hold on to the ball and then he'd rifle one in somewhere else and the defense would be moved by that pump fake. It looked to me like he was pump faking because he didn't trust it going over the middle in some of these throws. And they basically haven't worked the middle of the field. As a defensive player, like up, you know, intermediate, 10 to 20 yards. As a defensive player, what would something like that suggest to you about an offense and maybe a quarterback at this point?
I mean, it's not. I mean, I don't necessarily know, you know, what it suggests, because, like, when you're watching it, you're not thinking about what it suggests. You're thinking about what the hell it means. You know, it means for me, from a sense of what I can play. Now, if we're playing middle of the field safety, I'm not worried about anything inside the hashes, right? You're going to work out there. And so it really just eliminates certain ways that you view the field, ways you chop the field up. This is a lateral offense.
That's Matt Canada.
Right? Matt Canada's always had a lateral offense. You know, I know you guys don't remember his short stint at LSU.
Oh, no, that offense went in reverse at LSU. It didn't go laterally, unfortunately.
Yeah, but you got to realize, too, that offense went in reverse with five-star athletes. You know, I think it's very hard to do that consistently if you don't invert the line, if you don't find ways to keep a power running game. And from a passing standpoint, there's not a lot of things done on that offense that allows you crossers, that allows you digs, right? I think that's part of what it is. And then when you think about the tight ends and the situations inside, like, you have to be able to rifle a football in there. You have to be able to fit the football into tight spaces. And the good throws that we see from Ben early, if you go back to the Chase Claypool throw week one to finish the game in Buffalo, it was a crosser, right? It was a deep crosser up the field, but it wasn't a ball that Big Ben had to throw with velocity. He used touch, the back shoulder to Juju in that game. It was touch. Deontay on the fade in the corner, touch. We haven't seen Big Ben really pushing the ball in the middle of the field that way, and either it's by design, right, or it is Ben saying, you know what, I don't want to take those chances in there because I don't have the same type of arm strength. And to be truthful, to be honest, the one guy that we've seen defy father time from an arm strength standpoint is Tom Brady. Brett Favre, who was above average arm strength, he was able to throw the ball at this age very well. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is nearing this age.
Yep.
He still, you know, has the ability to do that. But we haven't seen many people get to this age and be able to do it unless they were, you know, from a physical standpoint, elite. Arm strength, Brett Favre, elite. Tom Brady, just a freaking alien. I don't know. His hair is darker. He's skinnier. The booty and his chin is more defined. I don't really know what Tom Brady is doing. He's on some different stuff. But, you know, we saw it with Drew.
Yep.
We saw Drew lose a little bit down the stretch. And now you add to what Ben's going through, a severe elbow injury. You guys are probably right to look at that and say to yourself, okay, the pump fake isn't to move the safety anymore and then rifle the ball in on the opposite hash. You know, now the pump fake may be a little hesitancy, and that makes a ton of sense. But I don't necessarily know, if you're watching the film, you go, oh, Ben can't make the throw. You know, what you say to yourself is Ben ain't making the throw, so I'm not really worrying about that part of the field. But that really gives the defense an advantage when Ben is trying to find places to put the football.
Ryan, last one. What's going on with Minka? Pro Football Focus hates him so far. He blamed himself for the Ruggs touchdown. I mean, you played the position. You played safety. He wants big money. I mean, what's your take on him two games in?
I think me and you have DM'd about this before. you know, like, I think Minka's an all-football guy. Minka is a playmaker. And I feel like when you're a playmaker and you aren't getting to the ball, you start to get a little antsy. You know, even with Troy, you know, we'd be on the field and it'd be a while that he hadn't made a play, a while since Coach LeBeau hadn't gotten him involved in the game. And what we'd do was basically just scheme up a way between one another to get Troy to the ball. You know, if we felt like down and distance made more sense for Troy to play free safety and me to play strong safety in order for him to get a chance at an interception, that's what we do. If we felt like playing one side of the field as opposed to the other was where a playmaker could make a play, that's where Troy was. And we just schemed those things up because I understood the longer it went between him touching the football and him not touching the football, the longer that went, the more susceptible he would be to get a little nosy. And I think Mika's just getting a little nosy. The way that he affects the football game, and this is totally my opinion,
yep,
is getting his hands on the football. If Minka Fitzpatrick doesn't get his hands on the football, he's just a guy, right? Because he's not going to affect the game physically from a tackling standpoint. He's not going to affect the game by blitzing. You know, he's not a box safety. If Minka Fitzpatrick is not getting interceptions, if you watch games where he's not putting his hands on the football, then he's a highway cone. And so I think for him, wanting big money, understanding why he's important to this defense, which is, you know, interceptions. You have 6 the first year, 4 the second year. You understand that this is the way that people perceive you as a ball hawk. Then you got to go out and ball hawk, especially if you're losing, right? T.J. Watt's out. Dan Orlowski and I did a whole kind of, you know, touchscreen on the Henry Ruggs touchdown. And I was going through what I'm thinking if I'm Minka Fitzpatrick.
Yep.
And I can see, I know exactly why he was where he was. I know exactly what he was thinking. And I know why it ended up being wrong. But that's football sometimes. And I don't, you know, I don't pay a lot of attention to Pro Football Focus or whatever that stuff is, because they don't know what the hell people are supposed to be doing. You know, you don't know the call. You don't know the responsibility. You're guessing. And, you know, and now it's become a thing. And I guess if you do everybody the same, then you can compare the numbers. But still, I think Minka will be fine. It just helps, though, when T.J. Watt's on the field causing havoc, when Cam Hayward is in his bag getting into the quarterback's face. And in 17 games, he'll make enough plays. Everybody will love him still. They'll all still be mad at me when I said it was a bad trade and that they should have saved that pick and tried to get a quarterback. They'll be like, ha, Ryan, he has 4 picks again this year. You're stupid, and that's fine with me. But he'll be fine. He just has to settle down and understand that you got to let the game come to you.
My mentions don't look any better, Ryan. All right, brother. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time again this week. We'll talk next Wednesday.